We are live on Facebook. So much fun. Hello, friends. It's Friday. It's happy hour time. It's 5 p.m. on the East Coast, and I invite you to start the weekend off right with today's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Chang. Actually, you get two episodes today, one at 5 p.m. and one at 5:30. But you are going to love both guests, especially Tanya Vakapuna, I think I said that right, of Everspire. She and Rita will be talking about finding purpose, both as a financial planner and also as a Pacific Islander. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV, and I cannot wait to hear all about it. So take it away, Miss Rita.
Well, thank you so much, Hope. And Tanya, thank you so much for being here. We are so excited to celebrate you and have you share your purpose as a financial planner and also celebrate your heritage as a Pacific Islander. So let's get to it. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Rita. I'm super appreciative of your time and just sharing this space with me today. Looking forward to talking to you.
Well, we are so honored that you are here. So I know you're passionate about financial literacy, financial education, financial planning. But I think it'd be really important for us to start with your heritage. How has your heritage as a Pacific Islander woman influenced, if at all, your professional journey?
Thanks, Rita. You know, so grateful for the opportunity, you know, being AAPI month next month, to share a little bit about being a Pacific Islander female and how it's influenced my professional journey as an aspiring financial planner. I think to really capture the role my heritage has played for me, makes sense just to kind of maybe give a little backdrop of my family history. You know, my parents are both first generation Americans. My dad came here to the States to play soccer at BYU Hawaii. He migrated here from a little village in Western Samoa called Tuaefu. And, you know, for those that aren't familiar with Western Samoa, it's this little tiny island, kind of in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Came here in his college years, but later met my mom, who was also first generation American. And she came here from the islands of Tonga, a little small village called Koloa. And I think just knowing and seeing their hard work growing up, but coming to a completely different country, learning a new language, learning a new way of living, a new way of life, and having to navigate that really provided me strength and I think perspective as I've navigated as a student, now as a professional, their courage just to kind of, you know, charter the unknown is really kind of what I carry as a value to kind of help me as I'm navigating as a financial planner. And so seeing, you know, having these examples of my parents, of family members that have gone before me, knowing that, you know, voyaging into the unknown is kind of a part of my heritage as a Pacific Islander, definitely given me strength as I've navigated the unknown of the financial services industry. So I think, you know, just drawing on those examples, you know, one of my favorite quotes by Sir Isaac Newton, if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants, very much is something that I feel like rings true to my heart when I think of my heritage, those that have gone before me, and kind of what I'm hoping to do as a financial planner.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I know one of the things that we both share is, you know, our parents came here. And when I think about how hard something is for me, I can only imagine what it's like for them to leave their village, definitely, leave their country, come here, not know anything, not know the language so well. So gosh, even when I'm having a bad day, I always put that in perspective, what it's like, what it was like for them to rebuild their lives. Having said that, I know that you talked about navigating. What prompted you to join the financial advice profession?
I actually started college out as a biology major. made a complete 180 course correction after I started my own family. It was the simple personal finance aspect of things that really drew, that really caught my attention. I found them really interesting, managing my own family finances, but also I think just knowing that this was something that the financial services industry was something that I didn't have a lot of exposure to. So I think the unknown of it was really appealing to me. And the more that I started to engage in the, for sure, the CFP curriculum, the personal finance, there's blogs, there's so many resources out there. The more that I started to immerse myself in financial planning, I just knew that it was something that I loved, that I was interested in, and also something that I wasn't very familiar with, nor were a lot of my family and friends. Our exposure had been so limited. And so I think the unknown really pulled at my attention, and knowing that it was, that there's so much good in financial planning. I really felt like there was so much good that I could do with it for myself and for family and friends.
Love that. Good for yourself, good for family, good for friends, good for your community. Win, win, win all around. What are some of the cultural values and customs that have influenced your money script?
This question I actually spent some time thinking on because, as I mentioned, the financial services industry is so vast. There's so much great content out there, but oftentimes it's written from certain perspectives. For instance, I remember, volunteering for a junior achievement financial literacy program. And we were going into underprivileged, underserved schools to teach them this curriculum, this financial planning curriculum. And the assignment was to break up an allowance and to see how the kids would break up their allowance to put maybe X towards saving, maybe X towards, maybe towards a college goal if they were older kids in high school. And I remember just kind of the disconnect for me because a lot of these kids, being that they were in underserved and underprivileged schools, didn't even know what an allowance was, let alone, a school account. The idea of college, the likelihood of them, actually going to college. There were just so many assumptions that this curriculum was based on. And I felt like it was a great effort, but maybe there could have been more collaboration on, what life actually looked like for these kids so that the education was more applicable to their circumstances. And so, when I think of community values and your money script or your values and your money script, things that are important to you are going to reflect in your personal finances. And so, one specific value that came to mind was this concept of community. Being a Pacific Islander and having this emphasis of community, of family, that's very much been influential in the way that I look at money for myself and as a resource. And also knowing that this sense of community and family is super important to other Pacific Islanders will influence the way that, as a financial planner, will influence the way that I help them with their finances and the way that they look at things. So I think just knowing the values and knowing the backdrop of a person really, really matter. And as a Pacific Islander, knowing those values and knowing how they affect the way that I'm viewing money or someone views money has been super important for me as the planner and also just as an individual.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I really appreciate and understand what you're saying about materials, ads, brochures, just being culturally relevant and sensitive to the needs of the audience. Just an example, my friend said that he showed a brochure to his relatives and it was a couple holding hands, walking along the beach, and there was a dog. And they're like, oh my God, that poor couple, look how lonely they are. Where's the family? Where's the food, right? So it's important that if we are serving communities that aren't familiar with financial planning, that the materials, the stories we share are culturally relevant. For some people, holding hands on the beach may not be appealing. They feel lonely. Where's the extended family? So thank you for that. This question is kind of hard, but it's really important because this is about celebrating you. What are some of the challenges that you've overcome and how have you addressed them? And has your culture helped you overcome them?
Sure. You know, I think just kind of piggybacking off of, you know, the prior question, just this, the knowledge and the resources in the community are so great, but oftentimes kind of written from this narrow perspective. So having to make sure that one, I understand what is out there, but also knowing how to maybe tweak it so that it fits, you know, my story, my narrative, and the narrative of family and friends has been a struggle at times. You know, a primary example I can think of is, you know, going back to this concept of community. Oftentimes in Pacific Islander families, you know, it's not just your nuclear family unit of mom and dad and brothers and sisters. You have cousins, first cousins, second cousins, you have aunties, uncles. You know, it's very much this larger circle of influence. And so when I've looked at things from a financial planning perspective, taking that lens has often been difficult. This idea of making sure that, you know, you can find ways to help beyond your circle while also taking care of self. It has been a bit of a challenge in terms of, you know, trying to figure out how to navigate and apply the material to self and to family and friends. I think also just knowing that, as someone coming in, Rita, actually, one of your advice to me has been so sound, but making the industry fit me instead of myself, making myself fit the industry. You know, the values of, I think, having the humility to know that I don't know everything, but then also knowing that I have the hard work necessary to just kind of to learn and to grow and adapt as needed, has also been helpful in, you know, providing courage when things have gotten difficult, finding my voice. Using my voice and being able to go into uncomfortable, unknown situations and just doing my best, you know, the effort, the value of hard work, all of these things have really kind of helped me navigate the unknowns of the industry and some of the challenges that I've come up against, both just as, you know, a professional and then even just as a client in the financial services industry as well.
You and I met from the CFP Board Diversity Summit. And as we wind our podcast down, you know that CFP certification is very important and the number of CFP professionals is growing. But within that, we have Black, African American, Latino, Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander. So somebody listening, their story may relate to your story may relate to their story. If you are comfortable, how can somebody reach out to you to learn more about how they can become a CFP pro?
Sure. I'm pretty active on, I try to be at least stay up, active on my LinkedIn. So reaching out via LinkedIn, I'm absolutely willing to be reached and contacted through there. And I do have to give you big thanks for that, Rita. Very rarely have I attended a conference and, you know, a panelist, an expert has extended the invite for an open connection. And you absolutely took that on and offered and then even accepted and gave time out of your own schedule consistently since then to just kind of talk and share wisdom, since you are so ingrained in the industry and offer so much time and resources elsewhere. I've so appreciated and gained so much from that offer. And so, yes, in that same light, would like to extend that offer to anyone else that may need more info. Absolutely willing to help there.
Oh my goodness, thank you. I'm speechless. This warms my heart, but it's true. For the panel for the Diversity Summit, I put it out there. I said, I'm sure anybody on this panel would be happy to make themselves available. My name is Margarita Chang. I'm on LinkedIn. There's not a lot of me. I'm sure you can find me. Reach out. And here we are. So thank you for that. Tanya Vakapuna, thank you so much for being here. Now back to you, Hope.
Thank you, Rita. This has been so great. Thank you, ladies, for opening your hearts and your stories to our audience. It's beautiful. Tanya, just all the best to you. Thank you for sharing. This is so exciting. You know, it's just a wonderful way. We're celebrating Financial Literacy Month all month long, and we're honoring a dozen women that Rita has interviewed on her show all month long on Incandescent Women magazine. So please do check that out, incandescentwomen.com. And tune in at 5:30 today for our second episode, where Rita will be interviewing Kate Luzio, the founder of the amazing company We Are Luminary. I can't wait to meet her, and I hope you'll all tune back in shortly. So thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Rita. We'll see y'all soon. Thank you so much for being part of our Incandescent Radio and TV family. This is Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Incorporated, the PR and publishing company for women entrepreneurs. Our Incandescent Radio and TV shows are brought to you by our advertisers and clients. Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, brings us 15 minutes of tips every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, where you'll meet experts who are helping us flex our financial muscles. Find all of the episodes at margaritachang.com. You'll also meet intuitive psychotherapist Kara Keem, who interviews therapists and other intuitive guides from around the world. Learn more at karakeem.com. And you're going to love social justice expert Karen Hanrahan, CEO of the San Francisco-based Glide Memorial Foundation. She bridges the gap from local impact to global change on her thought leadership show on Incandescent Radio. Learn more about Karen at karenhanrahan.com. You're also going to love Alina Liao, founder of the radical wellness journaling company zenitjournals.com. Alina asks, have you tried to journal but found it hard to keep up? Zenit makes it easier to journal for your wellness. With Zenit, you can customize your journal with prompts that speak to you. No more blank pages. Your Zenit is your personalized space to take care of yourself. Website, zenitjournals.com. Feel it, write it, Zenit. You'll also meet amazing Tracy Schott, founder of voicesforchange.com. Tracy is determined to change the world and end domestic violence. Learn more at voicesforchange.net. And we are so thrilled to be publishing a book for Angela Mitchell, who is the tech expert of case management. And she's also the founder of this fabulous organization, Kids Code 2. She is determined to teach kids to code computers. Talk about teaching a kid to fish. We invite you to discover and peruse all the Incandescent Incorporated websites, the magazine For Women, By Women, About Women, incandescentwomen.com. Our health and wellness magazine is beincandescent.com, the business of mind, body, spirit, soul, and heart. Our YouTube channel is incandescent.tv. And you can learn about our PR and book publishing services at incandescent.us. If you'd like to have your own radio and video show, check us out at incandescentradio.com, where you can see what we can do for you. These podcasts are also featured on iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Our podcasts are produced by Brandy Wilsker. Our videos are produced by Nelson Benavides. Our website developer is Max Kukoy, and our incandescent illustrator and designer is Michael Glenwood Gibbs. If you'd like to learn more, please send me an email, hope@hopegibbs.com. Here is to your incredible, indelible, incandescent success. Much love and many thanks.